Welcome to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Hassan Batts. We are in the studio with Terrence Reed, trainer at Promise Neighborhoods of the Lehigh Valley and also new to the Valley.
Yes, I am. How are you, Dr. Batts?
I'm well. I'm excited, man. Just met you recently, getting to know you. Wanted to bring you on the show so we can learn more about you, learn more about your story, learn more about your dreams, learn more about all that you've had to overcome to get here. So let's just jump right into it. Tell us about Terrence, man.
Well, I'm a kid from Philadelphia, born in 1973 to two great parents, and just had a love for life. I'm one of five children.
Okay.
Fall near the bottom, I'm next to last. I have one little sister. I had a brother who was a very famous track star. I learned how to move in throughout the world, and because of his success, it taught me how to achieve success without being on the front line.
Okay. So does that mean in a supportive role, or that means finding your own way?
Definitely supportive in my own way. I never wanted to be famous. After seeing what it looked like, I knew it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
I found comfort in the kitchen, actually.
A lot of us found comfort in the kitchen, but you don't look like a big dude, so...
Well, I'm down a few pounds. I used to be a much bigger fella.
Okay.
I'm actually a trained chef. I went to college to become a chef.
Okay.
And I just enjoyed being behind those doors and being creative and working on with these teams of people. I enjoyed working with a team.
Now, my wife and my daughter are constantly watching these shows, Iron Chef and all these different cooking shows. So when you say you're a chef, is that what you're talking about? When you're talking about teams, you're talking about like how it's on television?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go on Iron Chef Hell's Kitchen quite a few years ago.
Hell's Kitchen, they watched that one too.
Yeah, I had an opportunity. I actually had one of my proteges make it to Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
That isn't really my thing. Like I said, I never wanted to be on the front.
You don't want the spotlight.
No, I don't like the celebrity.
But you like serving people and making a good meal. And
yeah.
Is it art or science for you, cooking?
It's both.
It's both.
It is both. It is art and science. The science part comes first because you have to have such a balanced meal. You want the acids and the base to be just right. And also, you have to have those flavor profiles. And you can use so many different ingredients from different places. But then it has to look good because you eat with your eyes first. Mm. So I need to paint that plate and make it look like something.
This is sounding like love, bro.
It is. It is truly, I am truly in love with the art of cooking.
Okay.
I am truly in love with it. And the only thing I like more than cooking is helping people.
So if you could make one meal for me and our producer, James, shout out to James who keeps the show going, what would you bring us?
I would start with asking you, what's your favorite protein? I like to build people's meals according to them. I don't want to dictate to you what you would want.
I don't even know the answer to that. My favorite
protein. So I would start with, you know, how are you feeling today? You feel like chicken? You feel like shrimp, fish?
I think I'm a shrimp. It's a shrimp day for me.
So you feel like shrimp.
Yeah.
You feel like pasta? You feel like rice?
Rice. Always rice.
Now we have to get to a sauce or a vegetable.
Spicy. Something spicy.
So we're spicy. Do you like cream sauces or do you just, or no cream?
Cream works.
So now we're doing a spicy Thai cream sauce with your shrimp over rice.
Okay. How's that, James?
You add your veg, now you just pull in all your different veg. But it's so easy to pull that together so fast by just playing with what you like.
That's right.
It's not about what I like.
So it's not about you. You can make what the person needs, what they like.
It's never about you.
It's never
the food
about
is
you.
The star.
We're still talking about food.
The food is the star.
Okay.
When you're a chef, like I said, the food is the star. You're only there as the assistant. You never go out front. The plate goes out there, and that represents you.
So this fits into you not wanting to be in the spotlight.
Exactly.
The food is the talent, and then you are the supporting actor.
I am the support.
Okay. Is that a theme throughout your life?
I believe it is.
And that's what started with having a famous brother.
And it started by having a famous brother. Yeah, that molded and changed my life, I believe, forever.
So food is your first love?
Track is.
Track is your first love.
And that's why he was famous. I love track. If I could be anything, I'd be a college track coach.
Okay.
And I think I've had the opportunity, the stability. I needed stability because I am a father and a husband. Mm-hmm. So I had to make sure
I had a stable. So coaching is not necessarily a stable profession.
I think it is now, but back then when I was younger, I don't think it would have been a stable position. I wouldn't have had been in the right position at the time.
So we've got track, food, cooking, mm-hmm. you're a chef. Then you mentioned you like helping people and you're a teacher, trainer.
Correct.
So tell us about the helping people. Where does that come from and what does that look like for you?
So all of it, if you take all of these things, they all come from my grandfathers, I say. Okay. My grandfathers and my father. I have a mother. I have two grandmothers. I had two great-grandmothers, but I am a grandfather guy. Mm. I loved my grandfathers and my father. They are the people who made
the
biggest.
Shout out to the black men that make a difference in our communities, man.
Listen, George Reed, Albert Rucker, and William Reed. I want to shout all of them out. Those are my grandfathers and my father. They made me the man that I am. They introduced me to food. They introduced me to being a part of your community. Mm. They introduced me to just being a man and taking care of others.
So you're 50, right?
51.
You're 51. So when you talk about your grandfather, you're talking about 100 years ago?
We're talking about the 1970s through the 1990s.
I mean, when he was born, though, right?
My father's father was born in the 1920s because my father was born in 1943.
So they came from a different world.
Oh, absolutely.
Than being born in the 73.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I think molded me because I spent so much time at their feet.
That's right.
Listening to the stories.
That's right.
Watching
them problem solve, watching them make decisions, watching them move.
My maternal grandfather was a carpenter. He owned his own business. He was a jazz musician before that. And on days where we didn't have a whole lot going on, we would go up to Germantown, where I was from, and we would go sit in the living room of Philly Joe Jones, famous drummer.
Okay.
And I got to hear stories about all the great jazz musicians of the world. And this was something my friends didn't get an opportunity to hear.
That's right.
So I've been blessed throughout my life to be in a position to learn things and be given some wisdom and gems.
That has impacted and influenced your life.
And now I feel that I owe it to return by giving those wisdom and gems to others.
So this is the teaching and the giving back and the helping people part.
Yeah. I started off doing some coaching as well. So I did some coaching for a while, but I've always given back either through feeding the homeless, giving clothes, any way I can to give back. Giving back is super important. If you want to get started giving back, start by buying the person behind you in line. Buy their meal. Mm-hmm. We can all do something. Mm-hmm. Everybody can do something.
You said we can all do something. I know there's a famous quote from Muhammad Ali where he says, don't quote me, I'm paraphrased, but like charity is the rent we pay for living on this earth. So are you saying we all must do something or are you saying we can? You know?
I believe we must. I think we all should. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you can start just by turning around and paying for the meal behind you.
Yeah, pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Find a family that's in need. Mm. This year, there was a market that was doing $40 holiday meals. And friends of mine, we got together, we bought 10.
Nice. There's always something you can do.
And we don't know the people who we bought them for.
That's right.
And they don't know us.
That's right. What are you most proud of, your greatest accomplishment?
I think it's my children.
How many children do you have?
I have 4 children.
Okay, so you were or are a grandson, and you're also a father.
I'm a father. Yeah, I have children from the age of 33 to 20. Yeah, that's my proudest accomplishment. I've done some things professionally, but I feel like anybody can do those things.
Mm, but being a father is your thing.
Yeah, being a father, but being a father to my children and being there for my children,
that's
you
right.
know, being the father that they needed.
That's right.
And I had an excellent example. So
I don't know if it's fair to say, but I'd say it's rare. When I think about how I came up and the brothers that I came up with, having that example is rare. So you were blessed.
And it's funny because I always hear that, but my father had 3 brothers.
And they were all fathers.
What
about your friends? Do they all have fathers also?
A lot of them, yeah.
That's beautiful.
A lot of them.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
We came from a pretty good neighborhood, I would say, up in Germantown.
I spent a lot of time in Germantown now.
Some families split, you know, but
The homes are beautiful, man. They're huge.
Listen, big houses on the
huge.
West side.
Homes are beautiful in Germantown.
It's a beautiful place. It's not the same place I grew up, but it's always going to be home.
So home now is the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania.
Lehigh Valley.
What brought you here?
I followed my wife here. She had followed me on my career path all over the
country. She's from the Valley?
She is not. She is from Philadelphia as well.
Okay.
But she got a job with Community Action, and they brought her out here.
Okay.
So I followed her. It was my turn to be the supportive husband.
There you go again, right? That's the theme.
Absolutely. Listen, if you want support, you need to give it.
If you want support, you need to give it. That seems to be the title of your book of your life, is if you want support, you got to give it. You don't have a problem being in the shadows, pushing from behind, loving the person that's leading. That's rare.
Well, my father was a track coach.
Okay.
And he touched lives. He touched the lives of so many young men. And it wasn't until I became an adult and I heard them talk about it that I really realized who he was as a person. Mm. And I think that's what drives me to continue to be a better man.
Mm. Your father still living?
Absolutely.
What's the relationship like now?
That's my guy. I talked to him yesterday 3 times.
Yeah, he's still in Germantown?
Still in Germantown.
Wow. All right, so before we take a break, let's talk about 3 things that you want every young man that doesn't have a father as great as yours and a grandfather and uncles as great as you had to know. 3 messages for them.
You are loved. You can do it. Manhood is hard, but it's something we have to do.
You are loved. You can do it. Manhood is hard, but it's something we have to do. Yeah. And then I want 3 messages for the father that didn't have an example, that has these children that are looking up at him.
I truly find that they are some of the best fathers. I see them being great fathers these days, so I'm going to tell them, keep pushing.
Mm.
You are enough.
Mm.
And be the father you wanted to have.
Be the father that you wanted to have. And then give us a message for your younger self. You had the examples. You had a beautiful environment, beautiful family, beautiful exposure. What did you need to know that you didn't get and understand when you were younger?
Buckle down. Cool is overrated. Cool is so overrated. Do what you're supposed to do.
Do what you're supposed to do. So you were cool?
No, not at all.
Trying to be?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
So what were you supposed to be doing? What did you need to buckle down
do? Do your work. Go to school.
Okay.
Do the schoolwork.
Okay.
That's your job as a child. Mm-hmm. And it will pay.
Mm.
It will pay greatly in the end.
I tell mine, if you invest 2 to 4 years now, it'll make life easier.
Indeed, I agree.
Yeah. One of the things that I realized looking back, I'm 50 now, is that had I just listened to Mama Betts, everything would have been all right. She never wanted to do me no harm or steer me wrong, but I didn't understand that coming up.
There's no love like a mother's love.
No, not at all.
But fathers is dope too.
Yeah. You need fathers, right?
Fathers is dope.
A mother can't, and some people are going to argue this. They say mothers can raise men. A mother can't teach you to be a man.
Not at all.
Nah. You need a father. And I said earlier, you need to model. You need to just watch them walk. The way they walk, the way they smile, the way they talk to the person at the grocery store. I think that makes a difference.
Absolutely. Conducting business.
Conducting
I learned
business.
From my maternal grandfather.
That's right.
How to conduct business.
That's right.
How to talk on the phone.
That's right.
Yeah, there's certain things that my grandfather's truly, truly instilled in me.
Yeah. And when we don't have the examples of problem solving and conflict resolution, we make up solutions on our own. And sometimes, they get out of control.
My grandfather had a famous quote. He said, if I take you and your homeboy's brain and put it in a bird, it'll fly backwards. That told me, the two of you together don't know half
you
of what
know
I
it.
Know.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, he was something else.
That's right. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk. We're here in the studio with Mr. Reed. He's telling us about life, about fatherhood, about being a grandson, about being a son. And we will be right back after this break.
WDIY has been broadcasting since 1995.
This is Mayor Ken Smith. Congratulations to WDIY for signing on the air.
We're with Commissioner Frank Donches of the Bethlehem Police Department.
We welcome Dr. John of the Blend today.
Bob DeRoe composed, conducted, and played much of the Schoolhouse Rock music.
3 is a magic number.
Second antidote to violence is to speak up against it.
WDIY, for 30 years.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. We're here in the studio with Terrence Reed from Germantown, Pennsylvania, currently living in the Lehigh Valley, and just talking about life, man. For this segment, let's talk about love. So we talked about a father's love. We talked about a grandfather's love. We talked about coming up. And you said you followed your wife to the valley.
Yes.
So, and you smile. Every time you talk about your wife, you smile. Our listeners can't see that. So tell us about that smile. Tell us about love.
I met my wife probably in 1978, 79.
Wow.
Yeah.
In elementary school?
No, we weren't even in school yet. She lived right around the corner from me.
Oh, this is going to be a story, man. It's my a wife BET is, film, man.
Yeah, my wife is 13 months older than me. We have been married for 30 years.
Wow.
Like I said, we've known each other our whole life. I remember her little brother used to hang out with my little sister.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are a very super connected family.
So you met her when you were?
Probably 4 or 5 years old.
4 or 5 years old. When did you know you were going to marry her?
We didn't see each other for a long time. And like in high school, it wasn't a whole lot of seeing. And we really lived close. It's amazing how we didn't see each other. I think it was about a month into us dating.
Okay.
I was on my way from working with my grandfather, the carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the summertime and the sweat glistening and, you know, the tank top. And she saw me coming home and I was 20. So I looked great.
Yeah.
And she said, I haven't seen you in a while. And we got together. And like I said, a month later, I knew I was going to marry her.
You just felt the energy.
That was in, I want to say, July.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in that next May.
So you dated for a year?
Not even.
But you had known each other for so long.
I had known her my whole life.
Her family. She knew your family.
Yeah.
You knew the connection would work.
We thought the connection would work. Everyone else told us, you're too young, it's not going to work.
How old were you?
When we got married, I was 21.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 21 years old, and they said, you're making a big mistake.
Mm. And here you are 30 years later.
30 years later.
And 4 children later.
4 children and a grandson, and the mistakes just keep on coming.
That's right. The mistakes are blessings, right?
I'm happy with the woman I married, so.
So talk to us about love, though. Like, we've talked about family, and we've talked about the influence of these strong men in your life. Has that contributed to you being able to have this stable love? Because we see 50% of marriages falling apart in this country, you know? What are you seeing in your work, in your community, in your friends? What's missing? What's needed? What's working? I mean, I don't want to just be doom and gloom, right?
Yeah, see, I don't come from failure. I only come from success, so I only know how to succeed. What some people call failure, I look at them as setbacks or opportunities to get to another set of success. I'm not a quitter.
That's right.
So we work at it. Telling you
everything. It's not easy.
No. We've had some
it takes work.
Rough and tough years, yeah. You know.
I used to be a therapist, and I always would tell couples, I said, until divorce is not an option, you will get divorced. But when divorce is no longer an option, you're going to figure a way out of it.
I've been through couples therapy, family therapy by myself.
So you support, you believe in and support therapy.
I believe in the work. Yeah, if you don't do the work, then it's like being dead in the water, a ship dead in the water.
Mm.
You're not going anywhere.
You're not going to get to the championship if you don't train.
You got to get out there and do the work.
Yeah.
I truly love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
What do you love most about her?
We're very different people.
Mm-hmm.
We come from 2 different backgrounds. My wife is Black and Japanese.
Okay.
Her differences, I think, is what drew me in as well. Like, we have already knew each other, but I am one who, I have a thirst for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a smart lady.
Okay.
And she has so much to teach. She taught me how to drive a stick. She taught me about, like, she taught me how to drive a stick.
Some of our listeners don't even know what a stick shift car is.
A stick shift car, manual car. Yeah, so
that.
She taught me how to drive that. She taught me about her family's culture.
Mm-hmm.
I love learning.
That's right.
And because I have that thirst for knowledge and learning, being with a smart woman was easy.
Where for some men it would be intimidating.
And I think it is for most men.
For most men.
Yeah. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy most because it keeps my mind sharp. I have to always keep thinking.
That's right. Keep learning.
Keep learning.
I have one of those at home too, man, a brilliant wife that challenges me.
Yeah.
And you've got to be better and you've got to sharpen your sword and you've got to show up ready. You know,
it doesn't give us a chance to fall back and rest on our morals. And I think we need that. We need someone to keep that fire burning under us. And I enjoy it.
It's worked for 30 years.
It's worked for 30 years.
What message do you have? Three messages for the married couples out there.
Stop telling everybody your business.
You talk like an old head, man, for real.
When they say leave and cleave, really leave and cleave. Your mother can't help you.
What does that mean, leave and cleave? I've never heard that before.
Leave and cleave, it's a biblical. Okay. When you leave your mother and you cleave to your wife.
So when you say stop telling everybody your business, you mean including your family.
Your mother, your brother, your sister,
keep
your father,
your
cousin. When you tell somebody, oh, man, my wife didn't cook for me in a week. Every time they see your wife, they see her as not cooking for you for a week.
Even 20 weeks afterwards.
That was 10 months ago.
That's right.
Only didn't cook that week because of something you
didn't
did.
Tell them why. That's right.
Right. So we didn't tell the whole story.
Okay.
So definitely keep your business in-house.
Okay. That's the first
and
one.
I'm not saying suffer in silence either.
Yeah. Seek support if you need it.
Seek support, but professional. But don't tell everyone your business.
Okay.
It's not for everybody. Love the person you're with. That needs to be your friend. If you aren't in a friendship with that person, it's not going to work. I am truly friends with my wife. We like each other.
We like each other. That's beautiful.
That's something that I think is super important, that you have to like the person you're with. And my third one, when you get paid, take that check home.
Say more about that, because my buddies and I debate over this one.
I have never stopped anywhere on my way home on payday. I go home with that money.
And you
first.
Give it to her?
I used to give it all to her, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at a point where it's like, all right, we got this account. We don't have to do.
Yeah,
we don't
yeah, it's,
need.
This modern technology
right.
now. Yeah.
But yeah, I used to give up the check. I had no problem giving up the check, and I used to get clowned by my friends about that. But some of them are looking for what I have now.
That's
still.
Right. That's right. I push a lot of my friends, encourage them to do that, and they push back. I say, listen, especially if you don't make a whole bunch of money, you need to be clear. You need to have a good budgeting and financials. And sometimes if she's the better partner, better at managing the funds, you know.
Women have been managing households since the beginning of time. So they are some of the greatest managers with money and a little bit or a lot.
How to turn it into something.
They've been managing a whole lot. They manage the house.
I was talking to my wife this morning about, I do a lot of work, global work, so we do some work in Africa, and they talk about micro-lending.
Mm-hmm.
They say if you give these loans, these micro-loans to men, they will spend it on liquor, women, things, stuff, right? They said if you give them micro-loans to women, what do you think they'll spend it on?
Oh, they're fixing the house up. They're
the
going to make sure the kids
home.
Are good.
That's right.
Yeah, they cover others.
That's right. That's what they said. They would spend it on the family and the home.
Women are the original philanthropists.
Say more about that.
They're givers by nature. They take care of others by nature. You could go to the neighbor's house and she would take care of you.
There was always enough.
There was always enough, even when it wasn't. If I'm running up and down the street with no coat on, there was a lady who told me to put my coat on. It wasn't anybody's father, anybody's uncle, no man.
No.
He didn't care.
No.
Oh, they boys. Let boys be
boys.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what we'll say to this day. Natural and logical consequences.
And a lot of the things that they were letting us do were dead wrong, but the women would check us.
So throughout your life, have you seen things change? People change? Communities change? And if so, in what ways?
Wow. See, I remember pre-crack. So that is huge in itself right there.
Yeah,
so
crack did a job on the community, man.
To me, that turned my world upside down. I wasn't directly affected with any of my parents, but I had an uncle. I had a best friend. Like, crack was devastating to our community.
It brought the worst out in the people that you loved.
I saw it as it flipped our neighborhood upside down. It put the people on the bottom on top and the people on the top on bottom.
The equalizer.
Yeah, it totally, like if it was a triangle, we ended up on the point instead of the base.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because you had people who weren't thinkers. And those were the people who were selling the drugs, usually.
And they got the power.
And they had the power.
Yeah.
And I would think of people, like I have a picture in my mind of the exact person I'm thinking of, and he just wasn't smart.
Yeah, he shouldn't be in a leadership role.
And he was the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I knew.
We were in trouble. The decisions that were going to be made.
Well, no, that's when I knew I wasn't going to be a part of that, and I had to get out of here.
Because you saw this guy step into a leadership role, and you knew he didn't belong there.
He was an idiot, for lack of a better term. Yeah. And he wasn't a leader. Yeah, he just wasn't a leader.
And that drug and that money positioned him to influence the community.
And that upset me greatly because I knew he shouldn't be in that position.
Wow. You said, I want no part.
So I had to leave the community, unfortunately.
Wow. And where'd you go?
I went to Washington, D.C.
To get away from crack?
No. After I graduated high school, I went to Washington, D.C. I was at Howard University.
Oh, okay.
I worked for the FBI. Okay. I just knew I couldn't be in the city. What I've learned is it's easy. You can go to any city. They're doing the same exact things. But when you don't know the people and you're not directly involved in a lot of the things, you can avoid a lot of
You can reinvent yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even if you are involved in your town, you can leave Brooklyn, Chicago, Detroit, Philly, and go to Washington, D.C., Cleveland, Ohio, and start over.
I told my class that. I told them I'm somewhat of a nomad. I get to go wherever I want and be whoever I want.
That's right.
I enjoy the moving. The military instilled that part in me. I don't mind moving.
Mm-hmm.
I love new things.
Mm-hmm.
Moving to the Lehigh Valley was like an adventure.
That's right.
I left Lancaster County and, you know, I'm small farmland, fishing.
That's right.
Fishing and farming was all I did there. Now I'm back in the city.
Yeah.
You know, I can go around the corner to a Jamaican restaurant and get a platter at 10 o'clock at night. You can't do that. You
can't do that in Lancaster.
You can't do that
then. You can get a dog, a puppy, but you can't.
But you can't get anything at the 9 p.m.
At
9 p.m., the town closed down. But so I enjoy the different aspects. I enjoy what life has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make sure I get to see a little bit of all of it.
So in closing, we'd like to ask this question from the Cam song. What means the world to you?
Wow, I just listened to Cam this morning.
Not too much Cam I can listen to, man. It's maybe two songs.
It's not his rap songs.
Oh, his podcast.
I listened to his podcast this morning. Okay. I caught up on sports, unfortunately. My Eagles lost. What means the world to me? My wife, my children, my family, and making sure children don't go hungry.
Mm.
My next mission, I believe, will be to try to make sure no child goes hungry in the Lehigh Valley.
I love that.
And I don't know how I'm going to do it yet.
You don't have to.
But I definitely want to do a breakfast program of some sort because kids shouldn't go to school hungry.
Listen,
they shouldn't go to school eating a bag of chips.
That's what the Panthers did, right?
And that's what I would probably use that as the base.
Yeah.
And kind of go from there. But I definitely want to do a breakfast program.
So if someone wants to help you with that, how do they find you? What's next?
Find me at Promise. I'm over at Promise Neighborhoods. I'm sure at some point we will get together there and try to work on it. And if that's not the vehicle that gets it, You'll see me out here in these Lehigh Valley streets eventually feeding these children.
I want to welcome you to the Lehigh Valley. I want to thank you for joining us on Let's Talk. This is Dr. Hassan Batts. We're here with Terrence Reed, who wants to help people, who wants to love his people, and who wants to feed the children. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Thank you.